This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays, Jim and Tom. And it's been a while since we've actually recorded a full review episode. Because we're back from our live episodes. Go back and listen to it. Philadelphia Podcast Festival, where Tom and I brought the house down at Amalgam Comics talking Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
It was a good experience.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun. And Amalgam Comics is awesome.
Yeah.
It was a great place to...
And everybody there was really cool.
And it's the only place... Now, I've been looking for a comic book for my cousin. He's a fan of The Weeknd. And apparently, you know, every rapper needs a superhero now. DMC has one. So The Weeknd comes out with his Starboy comic. And I was like, okay, maybe our local comic book store in Pittman will have it. No.
Nah.
So I went to Berlin. Nothing.
Well, Amalgam Comics is...
They had it.
They're definitely going to have it. They do, I think. Well, no, they had the whole DMC...
A lot of DMC work up in there.
I was going to buy the signed DMC...
The anthology series?
Yeah, but I didn't buy it. I was going to pull the trigger on that one.
Well, we'll go back and we'll end up needing to get something there.
Well, at least my girlfriend definitely is getting a tattoo at the tattoo shop next to it.
I believe Chelsea's getting one as well. So. They scheduled something, so.
That's in September, though. I wouldn't mind going before then, so.
Yeah, and I'm sure if we go in September, both of the comics will still be there. So, although if you're in the Philadelphia area, go check out Amalgam Comics. That was fantastic. Yeah. And go check out speaking of comics, go back and check out our John Layman episode.
Yeah.
Because that was awesome.
Yeah.
Felt like we could talk to him forever.
We talked 40 minutes, like, just, and we, like, on, it was so easy, almost nothing, like, we could have kept going, but, yeah. And he felt like he wanted to talk more about stuff.
And he's going to be back. We're probably going to have him on at least twice more this year.
Right.
To talk Leviathan and his mystery project, but we are talking... A Marvel movie. We're getting Galaxy Wars Marvel treatment once again with Ant-Man and the Wasp. We both have seen it, so full disclosure, this is a spoiler-filled episode. We're talking first minute to the post-scene credits, and we're gonna dive deep. We're going to go into the quantum realm today. We're going to talk to Antonio Banderas, right? That was one of his aunt's names, and Ulysses S. Grant. He had some good names, but what did you think of the movie? Like going into it,
I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
it's a sequel.
Yeah,
and it's I haven't changed my mind on this point. It was a throwaway movie going into it. Mm-hmm. I still think it was treated that way a little bit.
Yeah,
it was treated as a buffer.
Yeah, the power cleanser.
Yeah, but you know it wasn't the strongest. Plot line and story, but it was still a ton of fun to watch, and it was hilarious. People really liked it.
And I feel like that's what you have to look at Ant-Man as. It's not like it's not going to be serious. It's not going to be the Winter Soldier of the Marvel sequels. It's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You know, it's going to be fart jokes and humor, and there's going to be some really cool action scenes and really cool shrinking and enlarging. And that's what I thought going into it, too. Well, I was excited for it because I knew it was we were going to get the bridge from, or at least I was hoping we were going to get the bridge from Avengers to now where we're at now.
Right.
And we did, but that came 2 hours and 35 minutes into the movie because there was nothing. There was no reference to Avengers.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Ahead.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of them.
Yeah, just to make sure.
But when we think about Ant-Man, my first remembrance of seeing Ant-Man was with you. When you fell asleep multiple times during the movie.
Yeah, but I think that was my second time seeing it already, but I
just remember looking over and you're knocked out. I'm like, all right, well,
if I see anything past 9 o'clock, the chances are I'm gonna fall asleep doing
That's true. But in terms of Ant-Man, I think that's one of the stronger solo stories, the very first one.
Just because I say I fell asleep doesn't mean I didn't like it. I actually really liked it a lot, but yeah, it's one of my one of the funnier, one of my favorite, and surprising. Paul Rudd was very surprising.
Yeah, and so. Speaking of Paul Rudd, what did you think of his performance in this? What about Scott did you like or dislike about this movie?
I like Scott Lang. I like the idea because they couldn't give you a a Pym story.
No.
Because, first of all, they removed his entire, like, anything important about him has been removed by, you know, him not creating Ultron and all that other stuff. So he really hasn't done anything. And then if you give us a Pym story, you got to give him, you know, he's abusive, alcoholic, and all this other stuff. So it's like, let's avoid Pym.
Yeah, and it really doesn't line up with their current timeline either. You can't have Michael Douglas suiting up next to a Hemsworth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Could you imagine that, though?
Well, yeah. The de-aging they did was pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how much of that can you watch? But
well, he wants to do an entire movie.
I know. What, he's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do they do the de-aging? Do they have him act and then they scrub it? Or
I think so. I think it's more like you get a body double and then they green screen your face.
Okay.
Because I went on IMDb and there's one for Janet, young Janet,
mm-hmm.
and one for young Bill Foster. And the young Bill Foster was Lawrence Fishburne. Well, sorry, Langston Fishburne,
okay.
which was Larry's son.
All right.
So it was just like you get the body double and maybe like the face, like Langston kind of looks like Lawrence because obviously they're related, but they kind of, you could see that they turned him into a younger
that was,
man.
That was, but Lawrence was never even that, you know. I guess I could use, like...
Well, Lawrence walked in like he was Shaft.
Yeah.
Like Shaft, and he had, like, a dicky on. Or that's what they call it, like a dinghy.
Yeah, the fake turtleneck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he just walked in, he's like, we're going to save you. Like, that was a weird scene, that one.
But I liked the fact they went with Scott Lang.
Me too.
And I liked the... I mean, he always acts stupid. Like, I think they could have made him smarter. Like
Paul Rudd?
Scott Lang.
Okay.
A little bit, because in the first one they established he's got like a mechanical engineering degree, so like you would think that he would know kind of sort of what's going on. But hey, if not, then whatever.
Yeah, even in this one, he didn't know what a wardrobe was.
Yeah,
he thought it was just a large dresser.
But I just kind of Paul Rudd was kind of off my radar originally.
Yeah, me too.
But I was telling Nicole, it's like when we everything he's in. Is watchable. It's instantly watchable because we were talking about the lead actors, Cara Devaney or whatever
Jesus Christ.
How they had no chemistry.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Rudd has chemistry with everybody. It's almost like everybody likes Paul Rudd.
Yeah, you never hear anything bad about him. Like he's not a dick on set. You hear that he's just like a normal fun guy.
Yeah, so I think like that carries through and it makes the movies funner to watch, even like the ones that I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch
Mute.
Mute.
He couldn't save that movie.
No,
he was the brightest part of that movie, though. I will tell you that.
Yeah, I watched some of it, but I didn't watch. You watched the whole thing.
Yeah,
Mutes are lost.
That's like a 4-hour movie.
Yeah,
that's also like a 6-hour review because of that. I go into like Amish religion in that review.
Yeah, well, they're like techno. They're a future Amish,
yeah,
right?
Future Amish with cell phones and lights, and you know, not Amish at all. You just can't talk. And he wears suspenders.
So
he's a hipster.
Yeah, I remember some of it.
He's like a German hipster.
I couldn't watch that in one sitting. That's us trashing Mute for no reason.
And, but thinking like to piggyback on trashing Mute, that's a Duncan Jones property. Mm-hmm. Alexander Skarsgård's a big name. Paul Rudd, Justin Theroux. It had a pretty good cast. It was just
it's a passion project, which
yeah,
we've seen passion projects not turn out so great.
Sam Rockwell was in it for a hot second. And let's go back to the quantum
realm. I think Paul Rudd pulls it off because everybody likes him.
Yeah,
he's funny, he's charming. Like he can carry. He's got enough charisma to carry a movie. And he's never really been leading man.
Yeah,
not a ton, but
he's always been like dual booked, like double booked. Like it would be him and Steve Carell with like a dinner for schmucks or like Our Idiot Brother. They cast him with all the women that looked the same, like Felicity Jones and Zooey Deschanel. They did all that, and now this one, it was him.
Yeah.
It was him in the forefront. And I'm with you. I never thought that he was going to get the superhero treatment.
No,
he doesn't strike me as a superhero.
No. But which is good. I mean,
yeah.
He pulls it off.
And
he's always going to be comic relief.
Yeah, and they take risks on these actors that don't fit that that cookie cutter mold. Because I feel like everybody, if you're going to get somebody who's going to be a superhero and you're just going based off of looks, it could have been The Rock or Cena or any wrestler nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really.
But they went with Paul Rudd, who, you know, most people know from like Clueless and like Anchorman, 40-year-old virgin. He's great in everything he's in. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah. The movies aren't. Yeah. But he is.
He can be dry and then like just full on funny. That's what I like about him. And I thought he was great in this movie. The scene, like the underlying storyline between him and Cassie was important too, because I think that's a lot of foreshadowing that she's going to become a superhero as well.
Maybe eventually. I don't know.
In the comics, she does.
Yeah.
Stature and then Stinger is the newer one, like 2016. Would you want like a young Avengers, but like with her, then you get Cloak and Dagger, all these like new heroes that they're the runaways, all these new heroes that they're bringing in?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind it, but I think it could get like how DC, every character's got a young version. Like there's like a mini, Martian Manhunter. I don't know what her name is.
Miss Martian.
Yeah. And like, you know, Superboy, and then is it Diana Lane? Or
well, there's Wonder Girl.
Yeah.
And then like Kid Flash, Impulse, all those.
Not all of them need a small protege.
Yeah.
Or daughter or whatever. So I think it could easily become that if you get like the same thing going on. And
what if you go new Avenger style and it's, well, let's take the young characters they have in the DC or DC, the MCU. You have Shuri doing whatever she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she could be Ironheart. She could be Black Panther, whatever. Spider-Man, who's a kid.
Right.
Scarlet Witch is supposed to be a child. She doesn't make good love decisions. She's dating an android. So you have those three. You can throw in, I don't know, you can throw a Rocket. He looks like a small small child. And then...
now Groot. Right? You got
Baby Groot. Yeah, teenage Groot.
Groot's a teenager.
And then you throw in Stinger.
All right.
It's a Disney series right there. That is...
Yeah, it is a Disney... isn't that what the... isn't there something like that on Disney already? Or no, there's a DC version, right?
Yeah, Young Justice.
Yeah. Well, no... What's the girl, like the all girls one?
Oh, they're doing one called Marvel Rising.
Okay.
And that's with like Ghost Spider, Kamal Khan.
Okay.
All of those.
All right.
You look thrilled. you're going to be the first one to sign on for the.
Well, they had that. I watched it too. The animated one. It was the future, and it was all the kids of the Avengers.
Oh, like Avengers Assemble.
Was that it?
Earth's Mightiest Heroes or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And like it was in the future, Ultron killed all their parents.
Okay. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking
about.
And
like an old Iron Man had to take them
and
hide them away somewhere.
Well, that's kind of what they did in Secret Empire in the comics too. Like you had Viv Vision, Miles Morales was in there, and they were all under the tutelage.
These kids couldn't get it done, so they just go get the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, well, then why did I just watch this stupid movie when you were just going to go get the Hulk no matter what?
Because you knew that's what was coming. You got to get the Hulk. But I thought the relationship between Cassie and Scott was super important to this movie, because it's like, all right, he's a normal dad, but he's also trying to juggle. Like, he's trying to be a good father on house arrest. And, like, that scene where, like, he's like, oh, I got lazed. Like, going through
the super cardboard box fort.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the movie starts, like, very quick.
Yeah.
Like, it's just darkness, a house.
And then hear his voice, Kurt Russell's voice, and you're like, all right.
Michael Douglas. Yeah, that's Guardians 2.
Yeah.
But, like, and that's all it is. Like, it's a flashback. It starts right in the flashback, and then goes present day.
Yeah.
And now you're, like, getting lazed and going through, like, giant cardboard ants. And I wonder why there weren't any, like... Like, wouldn't Scott bring, like, his big aunt friend from Ant-Man 1 over to his San Francisco home?
Yeah, well, I...
Or did Hank take him back?
I think they have... You know, ants don't have a long lifespan.
Yeah, if you step on them.
Yeah, and probably they don't last... They probably last a lot less when they're big.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stress on their body.
That's true, and Hank is working them.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, like, lift that, lift this, like, move the refrigerator in his little mobile lair... I thought the opening credits were good, and then we go, like, they didn't take any time to get right to Wasp and Hank, and it kind of seemed like, tell me if you felt this way, it was more of a Wasp movie than Ant-Man movie. Yeah. So they were definitely showcasing Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah.
What'd you think of her?
Great. I mean, she was great before.
Yeah.
And she's another one, like, she's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And you know, she's, can, you know, it seems like people like her.
Yeah.
So it's, you knew the two of them, at least, if everything else fails, the two of them are at least going to get along. And they're believable.
So. Yeah, the chemistry was really good between those two.
Yeah.
Like, they could be best friends on the scene.
Right.
What'd you think of, like, the action with the Wasp, like, the fight scenes with Ghost, or
she was a Ghost was fast too. Yeah. We saw Ghost faster than I thought we would. I thought we were going to like linger on it.
I think it was like 12 minutes into the movie,
right?
And we see Ghost.
We see our enemy. It was great and it was neat. This whole movie was filled with a lot more interesting because it focused more on less on Scott Lang, who didn't really know the technology and was trying to figure it out. Now you have Evangeline Lilly, who knows the technology, and Pym, who knows the technology. So they're able to figure out more ways of using it. And I thought it was cool, like shrinking a lab, putting something in the car that makes it get bigger and smaller, and all these other things. I thought it was kind of cool that, you know, they were able to just use it more.
So Chelsea and I were talking about the cars. Do you think he just got a bunch of matchboxes and he could make them big and small? Or do you think he actually found those cars, put the thing, like stole the car, put the thing in it to make it big and small, and then turned it into...
He had to do that because that's what I'm thinking. There's no motors on the matchbox.
And that's what Chelsea said, too. So I was... it's the things you think of when you're watching a movie. Like, are they just toys, or did he... I'm like, he can ride an ant. Like, don't worry about how he got the cars. But you mentioned how fast we got Ghost. It was right there. Like, we saw like her in a little like kind of like flash scene, and then we meet Sonny. Who's the true villain in this movie? Because that's my problem. Like, my only problem in this movie is I don't think the villains weren't strong.
Mm.
Because I don't view Ghost as a villain.
No, I mean, here's big spoiler, turns out not to really be the villain. Like, she's cured.
Yeah.
So you have no long-term villain. You have no returnable villain.
Yeah, and like,
in this, unless you're going to say that Ghost, like, she, you know, goes bad again. But
well, the thing about Ghost that made me, I mean, I felt for her, her cells rip apart and rebuild, so she's phasing throughout everything, so there's quantum entanglements and all that stuff, and she's got the suit that kind of controls that, but it doesn't. Like, she needs to get what's in Scott's head. That's the whole thing. Whatever's in Scott's head is Janet was the one who imprinted on Scott and was like, this is where I'm at. Go find
him. Yeah, that's kind of a hokey magic excuse. Like, how did they know she was going to have any type of... And they didn't even know she had power to cure her.
Yeah.
They were just thinking she absorbed energy, enough energy. That they were going to just sap the energy out of her and cure her. I don't know. That they never really dived too deep into that part.
Yeah.
And apparently, out of all these movies, this is the least... scientifically accurate.
Yeah.
Because when he goes big, his mass should stay the same, so he'd be like a balloon.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And just like with Ghost, her whole thing was she just wanted to cure herself. She's killed people, but that's because S.H.I.E.L.D. made her kill people, so she was just a mercenary. And then...
I like how this dirtied up S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit.
And Hank.
Yeah.
Like, it really made Hank a scumbag.
Yeah.
Because we find out that her dad is... I wrote it down.
Her dad...
Elias Starr, who goes by the name of Egghead in the Marvel comic lores.
Yeah.
And he died because Hank sullied his name and got him disbarred from S.H.I.E.L.D. And all she wants to do is like, listen, I just want to live a normal life. S.H.I.E.L.D. made me a killing machine. Bill Foster took me in. He's been trying to work on that. What did you think of that heel turn?
Like, did you? I didn't see it coming.
Neither did I. Not one bit.
But then I was thinking afterwards, I was like, they could have telegraphed this because... That could be a huge telegraph, because why would you get Lawrence Fishburne if you're only going to use him for a scene?
Yeah.
And not do anything important. Like, to use him as for one scene in John Wick 2 was fun because it's they're reunited after, you know, The Matrix. Yeah. But this had no bearing on anything, so I don't think you get him. Like, he's a big pool just for one scene.
It would have been the same thing that the DCEU did to have him as Perry White.
Right.
When he was in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And that was like, just, you have one scene. Where's Clark Kent? blah, blah. And then this one, like, I thought all we were getting was that office scene.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And I thought maybe we would get like a flashback to him actually being Goliath.
Yeah.
Because they focused on like
the Goliath. That's what I was hoping for.
That would have been really cool. I would have liked to see that, but it didn't happen. They were another thing that I'm going to be all over with this, but another thing that I like about this is that Peyton Reed and the writers really poke fun at what Marvel has been doing with their heroes. And it seems like he really listens to the fans because of the disguise. Like, their go-to disguise is sunglasses and a hat. And we've seen that in every Captain America movie.
Yep.
And I think Iron Man did it.
Yeah. Like,
even I think everybody has done it at this point.
And he says, it just looks like us at a baseball game.
Exactly. And I love that that was included because that's what everybody's saying. Like, it's Superman treatment.
Yeah.
You know, the glasses don't really work, but that's what they use it. So did you catch on to that when they said
it? Yeah, yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
And Hank loves it. Like, Hank's like, yeah, this is great disguise. Like, because that just shows, like, the old school mentality. Like, this works. This is what it is. So, but back to Lawrence Fishburne, I did not see that heel turn coming.
No.
And a lot of people are like, oh, that's a... Even after seeing the movie, they're like, that's his daughter. No. No, I dummy.
No.
We saw her father die.
Yeah. But he doesn't turn out to be a heel.
No.
He
was a heel to...
He cared about her.
Yeah.
And he was turning a blind eye, and he was willing just to... He wasn't willing to kill anybody.
Yeah, because that's at that moment when they have all three... Ghost has captured him, and the whole thing is like, for the people listening, you know the movie, they're trying to get the the quantum tunnel out of the mini building. And they have... Ghost has kidnapped Scott, Hope, and Hank. Has them all tied up, and that's when we get the heel reveal, and Ghost is saying, you know, I'll take care of it. Like, Scott Lang has a daughter, we'll go get the daughter. And that's when Lawrence Fishburne's like, no, by no means. Like, I will not help you. Like, I'm the only one who can save you. I knew before you knew.
I'm not willing to do anything evil.
Yeah,
I know that's what you did with S.H.I.E.L.D., but he's not willing to do that. Yeah, I thought like, he didn't do, like, a full turn. He was just... To be behind it was neat to watch.
And that was a good reveal, too.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for... Because Sonny Birch, a character we haven't really talked about yet, kept saying... And that's the problem I have with this villain situation. I work for somebody who's bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
Who doesn't take no for an answer. But we never got that. Comic-wise, Sonny Birch works for Darren Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Cross is dead. We didn't get any... Yellow Jacket references in this entire movie.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. And, you know, it's okay that he's there to say that.
Yeah.
Because in the grander scheme of things, what's going on in MCU, it could be anybody. It could be Hydra. It could be it could be Hammer. It could be 100 different companies.
And do you want it to be Hydra, though?
No, I don't want Hydra ever show up again.
Me too. I'm over it.
Yeah, I got Hydra fatigue. What I'm saying is, like, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
We didn't need that to be part of the story. We just needed him to be him.
So was he the true villain of this movie?
Yeah.
Sonny Birch?
Yeah, I think.
Who really did nothing.
No.
Right? He drove that obnoxious-looking Escalade.
Well, that's something I thought of, and I don't know how you want to, like... If it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it felt like this was very low stakes.
Yeah,
there wasn't any. No one was ever really in that much trouble. The FBI was the biggest protagonist of the movie, but other than that,
like, Randall Park's character,
yeah,
he was fantastic in this movie. The when he's doing magic in his office, and when he's telling Scott, he's like, "Just want to go grab dinner sometime." And Scott's like, "No, man, just get away from me." He's so good. He's such a fun. He was such a great. Inclusion to this movie.
Him and Michael Pena.
Oh. That whole crew, like, I don't like T.I., even though once in my life I was said I looked like T.I. That's for a story for another time, but I thought that whole crew was fantastic.
Yeah.
When David Dastmalchian is talking about the Baba Yaga, and he's like, just like Baba Yaga. You know, which? And they look back and are like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, you know the Baba Yaga? You know Baba Yaga? And then Ghost appears. And like, he's like, when we were children. He's talking like the old nursery rhymes. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, they they Paul Rudd it, because that would be the role. Paul Rudd would be with those guys if it was any other movie.
Yep. Paul Rudd would have been the Michael Pena.
Right.
He's like, tell me, like, when they do the truth serum, he's like, tell me where Lang is. And he's like, well, when I met Lang, he was in a real tough position. He's getting divorced by his lady. And he's got, like, comes out with, like, he looked like Rolf from the Muppets. Oh, my God.
And they had everybody talking, and then he was doing the ADR for him. That was really good.
Hope, he's like, bye, idiot. And she hangs up on him. His stories were fantastic. And when T.I. says, like, you put the diamond, you gotta let the whole song play. I thought it was perfect, and it goes into like how his grandmother had the jukebox and only played Morrissey because they loved his melodramatic ballads. Oh, that whole group is what makes this movie funny.
Yeah,
because just having Michael Pena in there, and when he's like, you know, I wish I had a suit with like minimal powers or like no powers at all.
I just staring at him like,
I just want a suit.
Okay.
What kind of suit would he get?
I don't know. You like, know where your mind... Who's that?
He could get like a Hydra Bob suit. Like just walk around in some spandex. That would be the first spandex suit in the MCU. Would be Michael Pena.
Yeah, no. I would be down. No, because she wore like a leather...
Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's just in cat suits.
Yeah.
That's like latex.
Yeah.
Or no, that's leather. They do the CW treatment. You get like all the tough leather.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be pleather because they don't want to have PETA fight.
Yeah.
But what did you think about Sonny Birch and Walton Goggins? Who do you think he works for, first and foremost?
Who does he work for?
Because I wrote three potential employers and the one that there's a theory about. So all the first one we already covered was Hydra.
Okay.
We don't want it.
I don't want him to work for Hydra.
Good. Me either. So I'm going to cross that out. What about AIM? We haven't heard about AIM yet. That could go into like a Hammer Tech kind of thing.
Could.
Very mechanical. It looks like they could do that street level because you still have Scott with his suit. Then you have Shuri with her tech. So they could. And she's coming to America, Eddie Murphy style. Where she's going to be in Oakland taking over, you know, the Wakanda.
Building.
So, it's like, they could do that. They could introduce Riri Williams because Marvel says they want to bring in, by the end of, like, 2020, there's going to be more female heroes than there are male heroes.
Right.
So, they're going to bring in, like, Kamala Khan. They could definitely bring in Riri Williams. Hopefully, it's not Rihanna. I would hate, if Rihanna gets cast in this universe, I'm done. Like, I'll watch all the Valiant movies. All right, so, where are you at with AIM? Yes or no?
I'm not definitive on yes. I'll say no for now. I won't say. I just don't see that as, like, it's a possibility, but it's not a huge possibility. Because it's never been established.
Exactly. The next one, who also hasn't been established, but who I think would fit most, and I've talked about it all the time, is Taskmaster. Just think about it. Like,
he's got to show up somewhere.
Yeah, Walton Goggins reports to a man with a skeleton face who can mimic everybody's powers.
Okay.
Like, wouldn't that be like, he doesn't take no, so you bring him Ant-Man's tech, he can now absorb that and become like Ant-Man.
All right, okay.
That would establish a bigger villain, like, not like an Ultron-level villain, but bigger than Killmonger, bigger than Ghost, you know, that could be an Avengers-like villain.
I'm going to say, I just came up with one.
All right, maybe it's my fourth one, but I want to hear yours.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh. This is the reason to get Clark Gregg and all them in there?
Yeah, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is hired. You know, we already seen that they're willing to do the abuse Ghost and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, Ant-Man or Pym, Hank Pym won't give his tech to S.H.I.E.L.D. You see him fight with S.H.I.E.L.D. constantly.
Yeah, even in the first one. He was flat. That's what was the rift.
And he's bad-mouthing S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that, and he was kicked out of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is how S.H.I.E.L.D. gets their tech.
So Sharon Carter, maybe?
Maybe.
She's still established. She hasn't disappeared thus far. We know that.
Well, this is pre-disappearance of everybody.
Yeah, so...
There's no timeline between the end of the movie and the after credits scene. Yeah.
So it could be Fury. Fury and Maria Hill would still be alive. Sharon Carter's obviously still alive. Or this could be, again, a bridge to bring in...
The
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or bring Sonny Birch to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That would be cool to keep the crossover. My fourth one is a theory that has been gaining a lot of ground. And it was writing that if the deal were to happen, this is what would set up the future, Norman Osborn.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
That would be awesome, right?
Yeah. I mean, it...
You can set up the goblins and whatever you want. You can just...
Not even a goblin. Dark Oscorp. Avengers and Oscorp and...
You could bring in the Sinister Six through an Ant-Man movie. Right. That would bring Spider-Man in.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Because I would like... They said that Spider-Man is not... His mentor is not going to be Doctor Strange. So, and the title of the next one is called Spider-Man Far From Home. That's what they're saying. And it takes place in Europe. What if it's Captain Britain? Right? Right? We get Excalibur in this.
All right.
That would be awesome.
Or
the Baba Yaga.
If he's far from home, this is where he meets. Now we're doing a tangent about Spider-Man.
It's okay.
But if it's far from home, it's where he meets the Hunter.
Kraven.
Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, my God. Well, the villain's Mysterio so far.
Oh, okay.
And it's supposed to be Jake Gyllenhaal.
So I didn't see any of that.
My thought is that far from home just means they're in New York, but Mysterio has completely warped reality to turn it away from New York. Like, they're just, he's in an illusion.
Right.
And it's not, he's far from home.
Okay.
That's what my thought of it is. But the Norman Osborn one is the one that I've been seeing on Facebook and Reddit that, like, this is what's going to happen. Like,
yeah, I mean, if they own it. It's a little
foreshadowing.
I didn't know Fox owned them, I guess.
Sony does.
Sony, yeah.
But with the deal I guess the deal doesn't even make sense, my argument for it. But with the deal with having Spider-Man in the universe, you know, they got Spider-Man after Ant-Man came out, the first Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So with having Spider-Man in that universe, why not? You know, you couldn't like. I think they blew their load too quick with Yellow Jacket, and I think that he suffered the supervillain syndrome where they all died.
Yeah, but
because Yellow Jacket's like Red Skull, like you need to have him going forward for Ant-Man.
There's potential for him that, but he's
dead.
Yeah, I guess he is. Nobody's ever really dead, but
yeah, well, Quicksilver's dead.
Quicksilver.
Yeah, he's never coming back. And if he comes back, it's Evan Peters is coming back.
The ones that die by bullet, they're dead.
Yeah.
They're easily dead. But, you know, it's the ones that you never know.
Yeah.
They can change things.
So I want to talk more about Ghost. What did you think of Ghost in general? Because that's our girl. It's like I would like to take credit that we discovered her. But we only discovered Hannah John Common for our circle of friends and our listeners here, possibly. She was phenomenal.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. She's athletic enough to pull off a super bad.
Mm-hmm.
She's not gonna. I hope
the suit was cool.
Yeah,
I thought the effects on her were amazing.
I hope she gains some control. I hate this to be the end of her character.
Yeah,
I don't think it is, but I don't want her to come back as a superhero. I want her to be broken.
What about if they take it the way the comics did eventually, and they gender swap this because Ghost theoretically was like a spirit man or whatever.
Yeah.
What if they take this and she leads the Thunderbolts?
Okay.
She becomes an anti-hero. We don't have a Suicide Squad for Marvel yet.
And they have all the... But now, especially, they have all the... They could definitely run a Thunderbolts story.
Yeah.
They have all the pieces for it. And she could, you know...
Her, Red Hulk, Punisher, Elektra.
Yeah.
Boom, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider. Bring Ghost Rider in.
Now's the time to get... Who owns Ghost Rider?
Marvel. Because he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Damn. Yeah.
And
don't we have a good Ghost Rider out there? Well, we do.
That Robbie Reyes was really good.
Yeah, he was really good. But, I mean, now we need a great Ghost Rider.
And they'll just bring back Nicolas Cage.
Nope.
Yep. Just bring back Nicolas Cage.
They could bring him back as Johnny Blaze. Like,
God, you know,
a 7-year-old Johnny Blaze.
Yeah, they just kill him off right there. Well, he's in two superhero movies this year.
Yeah, I saw something with him.
He's in Teen Titans Go.
Okay.
He's Superman. He finally got his Superman casting. And he's going to be in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse as Spider-Man Noir.
Okay.
So, all right. Good job, Nick.
All right.
You're getting back there to more than one word movies.
Yeah.
Your next movie, Mandy, which actually looks pretty good. Watch the trailer. That looks crazy.
Yeah, they're saying that it looks like one of the better movies coming out that he's ever done.
Yeah. So. I mean, what's the last movie he did that was good?
Raising Arizona, the one.
Oh, like maybe like
is
like a National one? Treasure?
Yeah, it was fun to watch. It wasn't a good movie, but it was fun to watch. Face Off? Face Off was the same thing. Yeah.
Maybe they were the best. Like the 1993 Nicolas Cage movies were good.
Going in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, that's probably his best one.
Yeah.
That's probably the last good one he's made.
But he's Nicolas Cage for all of them.
Yeah, Drive Angry.
Yeah.
Retribution. He's doing like all the one-word movies.
But then like for all that, he's got, what is that one, The Last Witch?
Or something. My God, yeah.
Then he's got
The Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man. He's got the Disney movie that he did. He played it, the Wizard.
Oh, The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, all right, we're moving away from Nicolas Cage. Back to Ghost, though. Like, what did you think of Ghost?
I liked her a lot. I liked her powers. I think she was fun. Like I said, I don't know like if that's how it would be, but I like the idea. She's like, she's, yeah, and they show it. She's kind of everywhere at once and kind of nowhere. And
she's intelligent.
Yeah.
Do you think, now, a friend of mine texted me. He's like, oh, I just saw Ant-Man. I can't believe, you know, they did it again with Ghost. I was like, what do you mean did it again? And they're like, they killed her. Did you read it as she's dead or that Janet saved her?
Oh, she saved her.
That's how I read it too.
Well, not only that, the after credit scene says we're gathering particles to help her.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what? He had not seen the after credit scene.
It explains that he's gathering healing particles. Remember, she says don't, you know, pass through the tardigrades, don't hang around, and all the other stuff. So.
So are we establishing, if they already know that Ghost is like, Ghost leaves at the moment, like, you know, her and Bill Foster, like, they're about to start a relationship. Like, Bill Foster's like, don't leave me. And it's, like, a very Titanic scene. And she's like, no, dude, like, I've killed people. You're a good man. Like, go do your thing. You're, like, my dad's age. Get away. And she, like, disappears down, like, not disappears because she can't now. She can't really merge through things.
Right.
But she skulks away. And then he's like, oh, well, back to the Continental with me. And he goes back and does his thing. Are we establishing that she's good now? Because why are heroes helping her?
I think she was sick. And I think, you know, they just want to make sure she doesn't turn bad.
Why not just let her die?
Look, they're heroes.
She put her fist through Hank Pym's throat.
Yeah.
One of the coolest scenes in this movie.
Yeah.
And all she had to do was just solidify her hand or just have, like, one of her episodes.
Yeah,
and he's dead.
Yeah, I
That's like strep throat pain right there. Like, I wouldn't. I'd just let her die.
But like she was saying, she worked for S.H.I.E.L.D., the good guys, quote unquote.
Yeah, but Hank doesn't like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean
Like S.H.I.E.L.D. He doesn't like Bill.
It doesn't mean it's her fault that she worked for him.
Yeah, maybe this is him. Like, listen, I was a solid dickhead to your dad. Your dad is dead because of me. Your mom is dead because of me. This is the least I can do. And if you die, then I tried at least. But if you become evil, there's people that are going to stop you because they don't know that the Avengers aren't.
Janet probably has a swinging influence on him. Like,
yeah, hey, she comes back and just runs. Yeah, just run shit. She's like, listen, I am the Marvel Jesus. Yeah. She can save everybody.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Well, she could have saved everybody. We don't know what's really going to happen. I wrote down one of my favorite scenes was the seagull scene. When they're on Fisherman's Wharf. And what's really cool about this entire movie is I went to San Francisco years ago, like maybe like 15 years ago, and I went to where the Muir Woods.
Yeah.
I went where they were, and that was amazing when they said the reference. I was like, oh my God, Muir Woods. When they're going down, like, I think it's Lombard Street.
Yeah.
I went down that. That was cool too. But then Fisherman's Wharf, where he becomes super big, and he didn't do the laugh from the trailer. And I was a little upset with that. But then just being there, I was like, oh, I've been in those filming locations. I thought that was really cool. What did you think of, like, the size, like, the effects used on shrinking and enlarging?
Yeah,
and
I like the effects, but, like I said, the problem is, like, when he's small, his mass is the same as when he's tall, when he's normal size. So when he got really big, his mass should be the same, which would mean that at 81 foot tall, he would be... He would still only weigh 150, 60, 70 pounds.
Yeah, he's got a normal size head.
But it turned, you know, he's definitely bigger than that, heavier than that, and stronger than that. So, I don't know, I thought that was weird, like, how, and I think that's when the science complaints is that they haven't really worked that out.
Yeah. And they really...
They're getting, and he, like, he can't breathe and stuff like that, so...
And it's funny to see, like, this, and people will say, oh, they stole this from Deadpool, but, like, the similarities between Deadpool and Ant-Man and Wasp when they get small, like the funny scenes when they're like 2 feet tall.
Right.
But these movies came out the same year. They were filming probably around the same year. It's not like they shared notes. Like, oh, how are you going to make a $1 billion movie? Well, I'm going to make it because I'm shrinking Ryan Reynolds and he's going to do Sharon Stone work. But I thought that scene was really cool too. Yeah. And like, when they made him like 2 feet tall,
and stuck he's, as a little like kid, kid.
And he's like, "What do you want? A juice box and string cheese?" And he's like, "What? You really have those?" It was great. But the thing I liked was when Wasp was like going, like it was again a very Deadpool 1 type scene when she breaks through the back of the Escalade, sits down, says hello, kicks their ass, comes out the side window, and then
flies through the
air. That was so cool.
All her fight scenes were great.
Yeah.
I don't know if Evangeline Lilly did them all, but her fight scenes were great. Yeah. Her fighting in the kitchen where she's, you know, getting small, running on the knives and stuff like that.
That's cool.
And, like, threw the powder down. You see her, like, you know, running through the powder and sliding. Yeah. Them using perspective on her and all the different... That's where I was like, you know, when you see Lang do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't know exactly how to use everything.
He's just kind of reckless.
Now he's got a broken suit, but in the first movie, even then, he didn't really have a good grasp of it, but he was learning.
Yeah.
This is, she knows what it can do, and she's, you know, trained to use it, and so it's cool to see somebody. That's why it's, like you said, it feels like her movie.
Yeah.
Because it kind of is.
And they touch on the Sokovia events and the stuff went over in Germany a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, you really messed up, Scott. You took my suit. You went and fought the Avengers. But you didn't tell anybody. Like, I think they were just hurt that he didn't mention that. Mm-hmm. Do you think when Evangeline Lilly says, you know, you wouldn't have gotten caught, do you think she would have went with him had he...
She makes it... They're on the run now, so... Yeah. I mean, it sounds like that was... Well, she would have been fine with
they're only on. They're on the run because of him, of what happened in Germany.
Yeah.
So, I think their relationship had just started. So, I think she definitely would have gone. But I think they both would have got caught. Because she wasn't the Wasp that we know now. That's, like, what, 3 years in the past?
Yeah.
So, I don't think that she would have been as advanced. And she just had a prototype of the suit.
Yeah, but...
You know what I mean? Because it wasn't even the same
suit.
But
she was training to fight. Like, she was a fighter.
Yeah, but she didn't have the same suit.
Yeah, because she may not have known how to fight with the suit.
Yeah.
But she could just fight in general and, you know, maybe...
But they would have got caught. Wasp would have got caught.
Yeah, but at least he would have had somebody to hang out with.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's friends with Cap. Tin America. Like, I thought that was a good scene, too, where she's like, Cap. Like, you just call him Cap now? Like, you guys are best friends. But... So, you said it was a zero-risk movie, where it's just, you know, there's really nothing.
If zero, at least low, very low. At no point did I ever think they were going to lose.
And,
you know, it's kind of like watching a rom-com or something like that, or like a one-hour TV drama. Yeah. Well, you know that there's going to be 20 movies or 20 episodes, so you know nobody's going to die. Number one. Yeah. And number two is, like, you know that they're not going to set him up to not see his daughter or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew going in, like, this is how this is going to turn out. It didn't mean it was bad to watch. It was fun to watch. It just, this was a buffer. This was to keep your palate cleansed and wet and waiting for the next movie.
Avengers 4, yeah.
Captain Marvel. Well,
Captain Marvel doesn't tie into Avengers 4.
Well, I
probably
think
until the end.
Yeah.
Where we, same with this one, but this is the first one that takes place on the current timeline, because Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, this was the one where, like, I was expecting at least, like, Captain America or Sam or somebody to call Scott. Like, I thought that's what we would have got. Like, hey, shit's going down. Like, we need you, because it looks like this kind of...
Well, that's what I was saying is...
It all started popping off at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know the time frame. We know that she comes out of the thing, or out of the quantum realm, which was kind of cool, how he shrunk down in chunks. Like, it wasn't like a fade. He was, like, very chunky.
Mm-hmm.
Tardigrades were cool. But, we don't know how long from the end of the movie to that post-credit scene... Like, how much time took place?
The whole movie took 3 days.
The movie did.
Yeah. Wasn't there, like, it said, like, 3 months later?
Maybe.
So maybe it was...
I don't know about that.
See, I wish there would have been a call. Like, at the end of the movie, like, nobody really lost in this movie except for Sonny Birch and Randall Park's character with Jimmy Woo.
Yeah.
Like, they're the only two that lost. He didn't get a date to dinner with Scott. And, you know, Sonny Birch didn't get what he was looking for. Ghost got a cure.
Yep.
The ex-cons got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Scott got Cassie. Cassie got Scott. Hope and Hope Scott got Scott.
Yeah.
Like, they're together. And looks like she got a stepdaughter.
Right.
She, like, got a whole family moved in. Bobby Cannavale and Judy Greer stayed happy throughout the entire movie. They weren't he was a little over the top with, like, how much he loved Scott, but I get it. Janet and Hank got their house on the beach. And Bill Foster didn't go to jail and didn't die.
Right.
Like, nobody lost in this movie.
That's what I'm saying. It was low stakes until that post-credit scene, and, you know, everybody got Thanos'd.
Yeah, what did you like the Quantum Realm, like, the time we spent there, or would you have
wanted
to see more?
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked the fact that, like, he physically interacted, or there was a physical interaction. My only question is, where did Janet find the clothes? Like, she was actually obviously wearing her suit, but she had, like, a shawl on.
The Book of Eli in there.
Where'd she get, like, she had, like,
it was Mad Max.
Yeah. What was she fighting in there?
Who else is in there?
Right. There's, like, apparently stuff in there.
Is this the same?
Well, Ghost isn't from there.
She was exposed to it through the tunnel.
She just has quantum
entanglement. Like,
yeah, she just has a quantum disease.
Yeah, and that was caused by her dad not being very good at building a tunnel, and that just exploded. And she tried to be a hero in the beginning to go back and save her dad.
Right.
So she started off a hero. Then she thought she was going to be a hero by working with S.H.I.E.L.D. and then turned into a killing machine. Which, again, I don't think Ghost was a villain in this movie.
No.
She didn't do anything that would... I'd be like, oh, my God.
She wanted to be, but she kept being corrected and put on the right...
Like, pair. She was... Like, Killmonger was a villain, but I understand his side of the story. You know what I mean? He was like, he was slighted. He thought that he had the right to the throne. Ghost was like, I'm dying. Like, she could go out there and just... She could have killed Hank. She didn't need Hank. She needed Scott. She could have killed Hank. She could have killed Hope. She could have killed everybody.
Yeah.
She didn't. Like, we didn't see her kill. She killed one person. That cop, right?
Oh, yeah.
So one person is dead because of Ghost. So I guess she's a villain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she probably killed more when she was working for the good guys, though.
Yeah. But she was a soldier of war.
So.
War against S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, the Quantum Realm. Are viewers supposed to think that this is the same place that Doctor Strange travels to, where Dormammu is,
and where Castilius
went to.
I didn't see that happening.
So how many realms are we supposed to
exist, know.
Like, think that are there?
Well, see, that's what's weird, is the quantum realm shouldn't be a realm.
Yeah.
It should just be the smaller space. Like, it's a small space.
Yeah, because, like, there's that, now there's the astral plane that Doctor Strange goes to. I would like that to be, like, because that would justify her having to fight somebody in there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Castilius is in there. Or maybe Dormammu is in there.
Because if she goes... If it's caused from shrinking down to that level...
Yeah.
Then it should be very hard to ever run into anybody else.
What if Yellowjacket's in there?
Well, that's what I think is going to happen.
Okay. I would have liked to, like... I would like to know... She's not just fighting the naked mole rat looking things.
Yeah.
Like, she's just not fighting them. That can't be the only thing. And if
The way they start explaining it is, like, every...
There's, like, ecosystems.
Every flash is, it's, like, a different ecosystem.
Yeah.
Every ecosystem is a realm.
Yeah.
And that is the realm, you know, a couple steps above the quantum or the smallest realm.
There's gotta be, like, maybe it's all connected, and, like, maybe she traveled into where Dormammu was. I don't know. I'm confused with that.
It's like, well, sciencey. Then they get there, and then it turns out, like... She's imbued with all this power from being there.
Yeah.
Healing power. Like, why explain it as, like, a radiation that gets emitted or something, you know, dark energy that we don't know about, or
who knows. Introduce something different.
Right.
That could tie into another hero, or, like, an Easter egg for something else. Did you like Stan Lee's cameo?
That was
probably one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, that was great.
Where I lived through the 60s and now it's paying off, or now it's coming back.
Yeah. No, Biggs loved that one, too.
Yeah, that was a good one. Did you get as excited as I did when you saw the new suit that Hank was getting into?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was, like, a special suit for someone else.
Yeah.
I thought Goliath It looked huge. It looked like it was like 9 feet tall. I was like, oh, Goliath's getting in that. And then it was like, no, Michael Douglas is going in there to go rescue who he would have cast as Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
Would have just cast his wife to go save her.
I thought casting was fine.
Yeah,
I
liked Michelle Pfeiffer, she was great.
Yeah.
She's a big name. Huge. Like, we were talking about it on Active Geek. They got Batman from 89, and they got Catwoman from 89. And they're like, look, DC, we're going to take the actors that made your films popular, and we're going to put them in ours.
Yeah.
You got Michael Keaton in the universe. You got Michelle Pfeiffer now. I thought that was great.
And they just need Danny DeVito.
Yeah. And Chuck wants him as MODOK.
We'll never see MODOK. There's got to be a place for him, though.
Yeah, I mean, Toby Jones was in here for a bit.
Right.
He could be like, I don't know, maybe like the Ancient One. Another, like, or a Watcher. We're just, I mean, who knows? Taskmaster. Maybe that's who he is. Let's go to the last end credit scene first. And because that's going to be something we're going to spend 2 seconds on.
Right.
We saw it in the trailer.
Yeah.
That's a scene that I didn't need to wait for.
Right.
And it was just Anthony playing the... playing the drums.
Yeah. Once again, another shout out to Run P, because I looked at the app and it tells you, oh, there's 2 credit scenes. And it says, last credit scene makes no difference. You could leave before it.
Yeah.
You don't need to see it. And then I was like, all right, let me look it up. And
this is the first time, there's 2 firsts for this movie. It's the first time that the end credit scene was shown in a trailer.
Right.
To my knowledge.
Oh, yeah, probably.
And it's the first time that the title was double billed. It was never, you know, Captain America and a Falcon or War Machine. This is the first time you got 2 heroes in the billing. And I thought that that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like V anything. It wasn't Batman V Superman. Yeah. It was Ant-Man and the Wasp. I thought that was a lot of...
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it looks like this was like the... They're like, well, first it said people are saying it underperformed because where we're at now, it's made $76 million.
Right.
And it missed its mark by $40 million. That's what it was tracking for. Or $4 million, I'm sorry. It was tracking for an $80 million opening. $76 million in 3 days is great for a movie.
Right.
Like, that's what some movies are going to make in their entire run.
Yeah.
So,
but it's a MCU. If you don't make $150 million coming out of a long weekend, it's like, well... So it's a complete and total failure, obviously.
And it's also a movie that was released overseas before. It's kind of like Jurassic World. It was released overseas before it was released here, so people can stream it online. But I'd recommend going to see this in theaters.
Like, yeah,
this
is fun.
You can see a shitty copy online, but you're still not going to get, like, one, you're not going to get this end credit scene that we're about to talk about.
Right.
And two, you know, just living in the moment at the theater, like the colors and like the shitty quality of the you know, the leaked one isn't going to give you the dynamics of, like, shrinking the sound and everything.
And that's just something I always said is I don't go to the theater to see, like, dramas.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
Yeah.
I really don't.
You're not going to see Love, Simon.
Yeah, on a big screen. Like, why do I need to do that? I could suck that, like, the emotion out of the crowd doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. But I do like to see action movies appropriately when they're huge. Yep. I think it's like there's movies that are meant to be on the big screen.
Yep. This one was for, you know, as punny as it sounds, they get small, but it's meant for it's meant for the big screen. But the thing that everybody was waiting for was the connection between Ant-Man and the Wasp and Avengers Infinity War. Mm-hmm. And it came 2 hours and 29 minutes into the movie at the post-credit or the mid-credit scene where we have Hank, Janet, Scott, and Hope preparing Scott to go into the quantum realm with a smaller tunnel in the back of the
one that fits in the van.
Back of the X-Con van.
Yeah.
Where they definitely sprung for the undercarriage wash. You know, you have to when you're in LA. So he goes in and, you know, you can hear him on the walkie-talkies, and then there's nothing, silence. And this is something that if you listened to Active Geek and you said it in text message that I called, like, this is where I thought it was gonna tie in, or where Scott was. And it goes right to everybody that had already disintegrated.
Ash.
Oh my God! The theater went quiet.
What's? Because now you got to wait. Does that mean he's protected there, or was he just one of the ones that survived?
Well, I think he's got to be one of the ones that survived. But how the hell does he get out?
Well, he could just hit a button, right?
No. They were going to bring him out, I think.
But he can't just get bigger on his own.
If you get big in the quantum realm, are you gonna risk tearing your body apart? Or is he going to get the same treatment that Ghost got?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's meant to house a smaller... But
he went to the Quantum Realm last movie.
Yeah.
So how did he get out then?
He used that transmitter. And I don't know if this suit is the faulty suit without the transmitter. Okay. I'm confused on where, like, what's going to happen. But there's another theory that right before you came over that I was reading, that moviegoer saw Thanos' face smiling in the Quantum Realm with...
I would have to... I don't...
Exactly. I would have to go to YouTube. Apparently, it's leaked on YouTube. But they saw Thanos' face in the Quantum Realm smiling. So this theory gives me an idea that this everybody disintegrating is the time stone, and or the reality stone, and the everyone, like the people who have been turned to dust, are now moving into the quantum realm or something like that, and that's where Thanos is actually at.
They're going and existing somewhere, like they're being saved somewhere.
Yeah,
they're not gone. They're just like they're being saved in
like this is
the soul stone or something. So
now, do you think? Another theory that I have is that we see all these characters come back, but as soldiers for Thanos. Like, he's now in their mind.
Maybe.
And this is an end game to what Thanos is looking for, just to fuck with the Avengers.
See, like, I don't know, but
he's got the core Avengers left.
I don't think he cares about that. Because it doesn't seem like he cares about fighting or messing around with anybody.
Yeah.
He just wanted... His whole deal was... to prolong the existence of living things in the universe. And he said, you know, it's existence, everybody's existence that is, you know, making us move faster towards death. In the comic books, we all know that it's his fascination with death. But in this, it was just the fact that this is what he came up with. This was his best idea for answering a question that he only knows exists.
But my thought is, it goes back to Avengers 1. No, Avengers 2, I'm sorry, when they introduced the twins. He told Tony Stark, I've already been in your head. You know what happens. And that scene is Tony Stark standing with the original Avengers, not anybody else that's connected. Ant-Man, all these people, all those loose ends. It's just him being the cause of death to everyone else. So it seems like this is psychological warfare from the jump with Thanos and Tony.
Right.
And he's like, look, I'm going to take away all your important pieces. And everyone's going to be broken. You know, Steve lost his man crush. He lost both his sidekicks. You know, Scarlet Witch is gone. Vision is... who knows if Vision is alive. Tony lost Rhodey. Or no, Rhodey's still alive. But, like, everybody else is gone. Tony lost Peter.
Yeah.
You know, all the Guardians are gone minus the raccoon. You know, it's just... It's one of those things that, like, I feel like this is just a power trip and a head game just to fuck with the Avengers.
Maybe.
Thor lost everyone.
Right.
His whole planet.
Yeah. There's nothing left.
Yeah.
He is the last...
Yeah, Valkyrie, we don't know where Guardian. She is. Hela, we don't know if she's still alive. Right. Korg and Meek. God, I hope they're still alive. Hope Korg's still alive.
Speaking of which, I watched What We Do in Shadows last night, me and Nicole.
So good. I can't wait for Werewolves, or We Are Wolves.
Oh, is that
correct? That's a sequel to it.
That's a free one for everybody to go watch that. I don't know, man. Like, we're gonna... I think Captain America or Captain Marvel is going to answer a bunch of questions.
I hope so.
Maybe it shows us like some kind of prequel knowledge of what's going on. There's a reason why she's important.
Yeah.
To the whole thing, because she somehow is going to get. I think she is going to. There's something she's obviously safe from this somehow.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like she goes into hibernation or cocoons herself or whatever. And I don't come back to Ant-Man. I don't know if he was just safe because he's in a different realm.
Yeah.
Or if he's.
I'm curious to see.
Because if he's safe because he's in a different realm, does that mean Doctor Strange might have put himself in a different realm?
Or, yeah, that
and
or...
And it was illusion? Or and Loki could have been doing the same thing?
Sure, he could have been doing the same thing with Vision, storing his consciousness somewhere else.
Right.
And that, like...
Well, I think that's what's going to happen.
You think Vision breaks, like, gets Dr. Ant-Man out?
I don't know about that, but I think Vision's just going to be re-downloaded.
Yeah, I think so too. New body, maybe green.
Yeah.
They right the wrongs and actually make him a green and red android.
Right.
And it's not Paul Bettany, it's Data. It's Brent Spiner. I would be on board.
I mean, we could talk about it all day long. And
we have 7 months until Captain Marvel.
I know.
It's crazy.
Well, that's what Binks said. He's like, oh, well, another one's right around the corner. I was like, no, man, we got some time on that one.
The next superhero movie is Venom.
Which will be fun to watch.
But yeah, Teen Titans Go doesn't count for me.
Nope, not going
to
see that.
Venom, which has no correlation to what we're talking about. That's the next one. Then Aquaman, again, that's competition. That doesn't, you know, that's the next one.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'll see Aquaman.
I'm definitely seeing Aquaman. Yeah. I'm going to cosplay as Aquaman. Grow my hair out now. Where do you rank this as amongst the sequels?
Amongst the sequels?
And you can take Avengers out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say solo sequels. Jeez, let's see. Thor Ragnarok was great.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We doing teams?
Yeah, we can do it. Everything that's not Avengers.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was really good. Thor Ragnarok was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man 2.
Ugh.
3?
No.
The Iron Man movies after the first one weren't that great.
So I put the first two, for me, are Winter Soldier and Ragnarok. Then I put Civil War.
Okay.
Then this, then Guardians 2.
I could agree with all of that.
Yeah, because
Ragnarok was great. Black Panther doesn't have, yeah. So,
and then Civil War, but Winter Soldier is that's a masterpiece.
Yeah,
that's probably my favorite Marvel movie in general.
Yeah, it's close, and yeah, sequels wise, those two, because Civil War, it sucks that you have to call it a Captain America movie because it's really just an Avengers movie. It's like the Avengers 3 or 2.5.
Yeah,
yeah,
Avengers Disassemble. Yeah, that's where I would put it. So. Is it a 10 for you, or is it like a 7?
I think, no, it's a 7.
Okay.
Because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like it was fun to watch. It's meaningless to the whole entire storyline until the very, very end. I don't know what they're going to use from the Ant-Man storyline to build anywhere else besides Paul Rudd.
And Wasp. That's all they're going to do, is they're just going to bring in Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah. You need, well, and now, I mean, was Evangeline Lilly in that last scene, the post-credits scene?
Yeah, she disappeared, all three of them.
Yeah, it's true that she was in there, too. I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, me either.
The tech's important, because his tech's important.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and he's established. They know him. Like, everyone knows him. And if it weren't for Marvel getting Spider-Man, Ant-Man would have had a bigger role in Civil War. Like, he would have been on Iron Man's team.
Right.
So, it's a...
As far as this movie goes, though, it's just fun to watch. So 7, I think, is the perfect number for it. It's like a B.
Yeah, the movie for me is a 7. The mid credit scene's a 9.
Yeah,
because the connectivity, and I always love
and
that.
And it's going to be a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of questions there. You want to hope it means something, because then they could use that however to fix things in some way, but. Then it could just mean nothing.
Yeah.
And he could just been one of the ones that lived.
Yep. And we want to know what all of our listeners think, too. Like, who lives? Where they go from this? Who did Janet fight? Who's Sonya Birch work for? And what did you think of the movie? So you can let us know on social media what you thought. And that is Galaxy Wars Podcast on everything, minus Twitter, because we're the Grays. THEGRYS on
Twitter.
You could
search for the Galaxy. I just changed our name.
I noticed that.
Yeah, you could search for the Galaxy Wars Podcast, but our actual name is at the Grays.
And we're there, and then we're all over podcast directories under the Galaxy Wars Podcast. And next week, we're going to be going back, and we're going to take a look at The City on the Edge of Forever.
Yep.
For Star Trek to remember Harlan Ellison as he passed away. And rest in peace to Steve Ditko, too, a pioneer in the comic game.
We're going to probably... I mean, I'm sure you're going to do something.
We can do it here.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have a talk with Chuck on the Active Geek, but yeah, he needs to be mentioned.
Yeah.
He's important.
We can do a Doctor Strange review in honor of Steve Ditko. All
right.
And then next week, we're going to be coming back with, again, Star Trek episode. We're going to do some WALL-E stuff to do the 10 years of that, and we're going to hopefully be talking to the folks over at Run P so you can hear the science behind Run P, and we got a lot of guests lined up on our hit list that we're going to have coming up soon. So follow us on our social medias, 5-star review on all the podcast directories, and we will see you next week.
Thank you.